We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. My Music is the name of the game. We do have a point scoring system, though only the listening audience seems to care about it. Contestants are, as ever, John Amos and Frank Muir in competition against Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And we begin this week with some splendid singing from a digger diva. John, who is she? Rank and name, please.
Whose song is it? There's nothing like a dame.
Well, you're not like a dame, yes. Dame
yep. Jones Sutherland.
Sutherland, no less. Yes, and that was a yes. D-sharp she was singing there. Yes.
I was reading not long ago Heinrich Heine, who described meeting Bellini. That is Bellini, isn't it? And he says how ethereal he looks and how virginal and how elegiac. He said, the whole man resembled a sigh in dancing pumps.
What a way to go down to history. Yes, it was indeed. It was from London, Sonumbula. Anyway, Dame Joan Sullivan gets you a mark. Frank, can you name the singer here and the show?
It's a Nell Coward song from Conversation Piece.
That's it, yes.
And I presume it's Dame Sutherland again.
Yes, it is. Dame Joan Sutherland singing yet again. That's very beautiful voice. Ian, I think you'll be able to identify this decorated singer from just one word. The single word...
Shalimaro.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed. Count John McCormick.
Yes, and in fairness to him, I think we ought to have the whole of that first phrase.
Hail, hands I loved beside the Shalimar. Where are you now, who lies beneath your spell?
I wonder if any of the audience remember McCormack's broadcasts. Because in those days, everything was very straight, and great artists didn't ever chat. But when the announcer had said very stiffly, Count John McCormack is now going to sing whatever it is, there would be a silence, and then there would be a giggle. And then an Irish voice would say, come on, Gerald! It was always Gerald Moore.
Yes,
come on,
great.
Gerald.
Dennis, your turn. The famous television actor Dennis Waterman made this record some years ago.
Where is love? Does it fall from skies above? Is it underneath the willow tree that I've been dreaming of?
I like I've been dreaming breath of. Yeah, yeah. Dennis Waterman in his Oliver days. Dennis Norton, switching to your Oliver memory, can you remember who played the Artful Dodger in the film?
Jack Wilde.
Jack Wilde it was, yes. I wonder, does anyone remember the Artful Dodger's real name in the book? Do you know, Frank?
Dawkins.
Yes.
Isn't it Dawkins?
Jack Dawkins, yes. That's right. Anyway, everybody's got a mark in that first round. I'll introduce the next round with two notes played on the piano. D, G.
I'm doing, you're awfully old.
Well, no.
Right.
The point is, really, that among people who work for the BBC, the initials DG are breathed with the deepest respect because they stand for the Director General. But there are other DGs in the world, and in music, some of them. John, which DG wrote a symphony which he numbered 5.5.
Oh, I think this is Don Gillis.
Don Gillis, an American composer. Yes, his symphony number 5.5. Here are just a few bars from it. Very avant-garde that was considered. It sounds like a bit of Mendelssohn alternating with Gershwin now,
well,
doesn't it?
It's actually almost a quotation of that aria from Cavalleria Rusticana that the fella sings, Questo vino, whatever it is.
Frank, Cimarosa's opera, Il matrimonio segreto, was based for its libretto on a play written by an Englishman who was born in Hereford in 1717. Which DG would that be?
Actor.
Yes.
David Garrick.
David Garrick it was, yes. Ian, your DG wrote the words of Heart of Oak.
Ah, yes. The same.
David Garrick, yes, with William Boyce, 1759. Dennis, which DG wrote and recorded A Million Seller, 1958, and then saw it sell a million all over again 4 years later when Ray Charles recorded it? I'll play you a little bit of the composer's own version.
I can't stop loving you, so I've made up my mind to live in memories of old lonesome time.
The idea?
It's not a patch on Ray Charles, is it?
No, it's
now,
not.
I've I'm composer. Reason, when I found out it was coming towards me, I wrote down all the DGs I can think of, and if it isn't one of these four, then I'm cooked. I've got Dizzy Gillespie, Dorothy Gish, Derek Giler, and Dulcie Gray. Now, is it any one of those?
It's a lovely thought that Dorothy Gish wrote a song for Ray Charles. No. Anybody in the audience know his name? No. Don Gibson, thank you. It was Don Gibson who wrote the song. Later, Ray Charles made it another million seller. Right. Here beside me is a piano, otherwise known as the mighty Steinbeck. There are 8 tunes in my medley. The first 4, get your pens ready, chaps. The first 4 are for John and Frank to name. The second 4 for Ian and Dennis. So there are 8 tunes in the medley, 4 and 4. Frank, can you start us off?
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Thank you. It was the first half a mark, yes. Da-dum, da-dum,
da-dum, da-dum. I haven't got any of these.
I know that like the back of my third hand. Yes. But it can't think of the title.
It's called Out of Town.
That's right, yes.
Then came one you would know. Da-dum, 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 da-dum,
da-dum, da-dum, da-dum, da-dum, da-dum.
That's right.
What is the title?
Little Dolly Daydream.
Little Dolly Daydream. And the fourth one?
Why Do Robins Sing?
Well,
in the evening, running all the castle, they do. I Know Why.
I Know Why, yes. Comes. It's made famous by a band that also recorded a song called Pardon Me, Boy.
Which of those was aimed at me, Steve?
The next one.
Ah.
You've got 3 out of 4 on your side. That's 1.5. Right. Ian and Dennis.
Songs My Mother Taught Me.
Thank you. Yes, then?
my friend here.
My Funny Valentine.
Yes. Two easy ones to follow.
Buddy, can't you spare a dime?
Can you spare a dime?
Either one.
And I've got.
You've made it a more cheerful song. Yeah. Yeah. And the last one.
I got Ochichane, but I noticed I've spelt it with an extra chicha. Ochichane.
Ochichane.
I'll play the tune. The tune goes. That's right. Black eyes, dark eyes, or Chichonio, if you like. Yes, okay. You've got 4 half marks. That's 2. Good.
Buddy, can you spare a dime? I can't remember who it was that told me. It was somebody on a program that was an American, and he said he grew up with this song, and he always wanted to have a suit made out of this fabulous material called kakizu. Because the bit that goes, dressed in kakizu, gee, we look swell.
Kakizu. Kakizu. Yes. The words of songs. They must be old songs, so you wouldn't be expected to have heard the words at all. John, the Jolly Miller of Dee, what was the burden of his song? According to the song.
I care for nobody, no for me, and nobody cares for me.
One mark. Good. Frank,
I remember
what?
That Britain has done a setting of that, which is all in a minor key and very, very miserable. And I remember my wife once said to him, you know, it's supposed to be Jolly Miller, Ben. And he said, oh, jolly, old Suffolk word, meaning bloody miserable.
Again, the words of songs. Frank, what does my disposition depend on?
You-who.
You-who, that's right, from the song.
My disposition depends on... My disposition...
It's going to be a long ride, folks.
Sometimes I'm
happy it comes from this.
It's a long way away from that.
Yes, it is, actually.
Lucky it isn't the mass in B minor, isn't it, when you chaps go...
Yes. We know the plot.
Ian, what does the umbrella man use for repairing his umbrellas?
Oh, it's Bud Flanagan, isn't it? And the umbrellas and the umbrellas two men.
Can I bring you forward?
What you call?
Oh, a thingamajig.
Yeah.
A thingamajig. That's right. He repairs them all with what he calls a thingamajig, yes. Dennis, according to Liza Doolittle's father, what was the gentle sex made for?
The gentle sex was made for men to marry.
That's right.
To tend his needs and have and cook his meals. Yes.
See his food is cooked.
See his food is cooked. Yes.
With a little bit of luck. Yes, that's right. That's a very passable imitation of Liza Doolittle.
Don't you recognise? Yes.
Yes, it's her to the life, that one. Yeah. The subject is opera. John, okay. I'm going to play you the beginnings of 2 overtures or operatic preludes, actually sort of spliced together. Can you listen and then tell me how long passed between the births of the 2 composers responsible? Now, if you get that, you're a genius.
A few
weeks. I
think
you've got them, haven't you? Very, very good. What were the pieces?
Well, the first one was Forza del Destino Overture.
By?
Verdi.
Yes.
And the second is Lohengrin.
Yes.
By Wagner.
That's right.
And they were both born in 1813, I think.
That's right. Verdi on October the 10th.
Very good.
Wagner on May the 22nd. The official answer is 4.5 months passed between them, but you've got a jolly good mark there. Well done. Frank, what were the young ladies of Mr. Josias Priest's school in Chelsea the first to hear?
The first to hear Mr. Josiah Priest say, good morning, girl.
Also, in 1689 or 90, we think they heard for the first time...
Dido, 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 Dido.
Yes, that's John assisting you there.
Oh, an opera.
Yes.
It's always opera when he says anything. It's a diddly-eye-dido, diddly-eye-dido.
And in ear.
An opera, round about that time.
Professor. I will translate that remark. Yes, it was Purcell's Dido and Aeneas they heard for the first time. They also heard, of course, that this lovely song that comes near the end of it. from Dido and Aeneas, When I Am Laid in Earth, the singer there, Kirsten und Fleischstadt. Ian, what in 1874 was based on a German comedy that had been a great success in Paris under the name of Réveillon? This is a work you know well.
Well, the clue here to me is the year, 1874.
Yes.
The only piece that I know that happened in that year was, yes, Die Fledermaus.
Another genius!
Yes. I've never heard anything yes. about Réveillon.
Well, that's
before.
What it was originally. Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus is right. Dennis, it was
leaving the geniuses now. Dennis.
Now, I think you might get this. Dennis, it was the first and greatest of the Verismo operas. One critic dismissed it as... One critic...
I've blushed already.
No, come on, now listen. One critic dismissed it as Castilian licentiousness. The chorus said their parts were unsingable, and the orchestra found some of the music unplayable. I think that's a lot of bull. What's the opera?
Well, you've given me two clues, right?
Castilian? I've given you the other. Yes, that's right, yes.
And bull.
And Verismo. Oh, I see, yes.
Verismo escaped me as a clue. I recently saw described the plot synopsis. Is it Carmen?
Yes, it's Carmen, yes.
I recently saw a description of the plot synopsis of Carmen as cigarette girls can be hazardous to your health.
But it's true. It was in Carmen. The chorus said their parts were unsingable, and the orchestra said the music was unplayable. Unbelievable, really.
I was afraid it was going to be part of Ian's question, but Flagstad's contract for singing in Dido and Aeneas could appear in the Guinness Book of Records.
Yes, it could. Can you explain that? Because it's rather nice remark.
Yes, because Bernard Miles put it on in his house in St John's Wood. And she sang for nothing, but they made the contract that she was to receive, I think it was 2 pints of Guinness per performance.
It's the modern equivalent of a rose at midsummer or a peppercorn. Yes. All you have to do in this next round is supply a date. See how you are on dates now. Within a year, please, when music was composed or first heard. So, John, a date, please, for the first production of Verdi's Nabucco.
Well, we've had that he was born in 1813.
Yes.
Nabucco, I suppose, came on in his 20s. No, 1829?
If not early 30s.
What?
If not his early 30s. Or yes, 1842
really?
In Milan. Not bad, not right there. Frank, the composition date of Walton's Spitfire Fugue.
Early war, presumably slightly later than the Spitfire.
Yes.
I mean, the Spitfire came first,
yes,
before the Fugue.
Indeed, yes, that's right.
So
yes.
I'd say 43.
Near enough, 1942, actually, the composition. Ian, John Ireland's music for the film The Overlanders.
Oh, well, it was just after the war. With
yes.
Chips Rafferty. I would say 46.
1947. Good, near enough. Dennis Norden, Vaughan Williams... film score for Coastal Command.
Well, that was about the middle of the war. I would say about 1943.
1942 it was. So you've got the mark as well. Very good.
You know, Vaughan Williams didn't write too carefully with the timings that the producer gave. And when he used to send the music
for film work, yeah.
He used to say, right, well, here it is. If you don't use anything, send it back. I might be able to use it again.
Yes, nothing weird. And he did, of course, with the Sinfonia Antarctica, didn't he, and various things like that. In fact, the theme from 49th Parallel turned up in another Vaughan Williams work as a beautiful little choral piece, The New Commonwealth. Mm. 4 love songs to end our show. What could be nicer than 4 love songs? Perhaps a change of singers could be nice, I don't know. Anyway, a real tenor to start us off and a real tenor song. John, we are in love with you, my heart and I. A monocular version, perhaps, or not?
So you mean it's Richard Tauber?
Yes, that song, yes. No, do it your
I'll
way.
I'll try and do it your way. Let's see what happens.
Your chord.
We are in love with you, my heart and I. liberty, and it's a lovely day when you are near. Maybe that love is blind when passion rules. Maybe my heart and I are just two fools. But if, my darling, you should ever say goodbye, I know we both should die, my heart and
I. Nice to hear it.
So well,
nice,
these yes. days. Take to wearing your braces looser or something.
Nice to hear it sung sweetly like that. Frank, who stole my heart away? Who makes me dream all day? Or rather, who, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stole my heart away?
About that.
If you must, yes. By all means, sing it in four sharps.
No. Right. I'll do a deal with it.
No, it's all right. No, it's all right. First thoughts are best.
It's too low, isn't it? Well, it goes up a bit, doesn't it? I'm always worried about it going up a bit, doesn't it?
The key I had for you start on with that.
Oh, yes, it does. It will always be blue. Yeah.
Who?
Right?
Right. Go.
Who stole my...
It's going to be terrible.
You really want to engage an owl?
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. Go up a bit.
No, try this one.
Who, right. Who stole my heart away? Makes me dream all day. Dreams I know can never be true. Seems as though I'll ever be blue. Who is my happiness? Who would I answer yes? Who would I answer yes? Who? No one but you.
That's all right.
Dennis, a weepy from 1925. I had you, I lost you, I found you.
Oh, yes, this is one of the great losers of music. Listen to his story. How's it go?
I
had you, I lost you, I found...
Sorry, let's start
go
again.
On, go on. I had you, I lost you, I found you, only to lose you again. I rather... I never had loved you at all than to find that I loved you in vain. I tried hard, but I couldn't hold you. It was foolish to think you'd remain. I had you, I lost you, I found you. Only to lose you again. It's one of the great great sad lyrics, isn't it? But it's actually practically a perfect synopsis of the story of Orpheus and Eurydice.
Oh, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes, I had you, I lost you, I found you, only to lose you again.
Dennis, it's the first time I've heard you in the tenor register. Yes. Have you got your waistcoat buttons tied to your trousers?
Yes, I agree with John that there was a register there.
There
never heard from Dennis before.
I marked that register about 3 years ago.
Ian, let's have some genuine sentiment, because this is such a lovely song. Now, quiet at the back, please. Drink to me only with thine eyes. Okay, shall I give it just three chords in?
Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. Or leave a kiss within the cup, and I'll not look for wine. The thirst that
Drink to me only. The victory this week goes to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye. Oh.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.